Sattvic nature is the state of mind in which mind is composed, serene, happy, clearer in thinking. All this is sattvic. Rajasic is where it is passionate, action-oriented, desirous, greedy, restless. That is rajas. And tamas is indolence, lazy, sloth, sleep, heedlessness. All this would be tamas. And all of us have all these three. The permutation combination varies. In some rajas is more, in some rajas sattva is more, in some tamas is more. So, according to whatever is predominating, we are either called as sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. But all three are there. When sattva predominates, a person is bound to happiness, sukha and wisdom or clarity, thinking. A person when he is bound by rajas, when rajas predominates, he is bound by action, greed, attachment, hoarding. This is how a rajasic person functions. A tamasic person, when tamas predominates, he is bound by sloth, inertia, indolence. So, he says, the purpose of life is to control the rajas, eliminate tamas, and by controlling rajas and giving it a direction, you rise beyond it and increase sattva. And when you keep on increasing sattva, the more the sattva, the greater the clarity. You begin to understand what to choose, because life is nothing but choices. A human being is constantly given an opportunity to choose. We have an opportunity to choose at any given point in time. But having chosen, we are bound by the consequence that we choose. So our destiny is nothing but sigma choices. Sigma choices is destiny. Therefore, we need to know what to choose. So that's the problem. That's where the thing is. In the 18th chapter, he's going to say, what the enjoyment born of sense contact begins as nectar, ends as poison. So a person who is predominated by rajas is going to choose that, not the sattvic happiness, which begins as poison, ends as nectar. So therefore, the happiness that is born when you practice self-control, sense-control is poison in the beginning, but nectar in the end. But the joy that you get by indulging the senses, nectar in the beginning, ends up as poison. But when the sattva is less, we choose the nectar in the beginning, poison in the end. We need clarity. To know what we know, to know what we don't know, and knowing what we don't know, we can go to somebody who knows and surrender. But in life, because we think we know, we start giving advice in the area even which we don't know, and we start practicing ulta. In fact, in the spiritual field also, what the masters are telling us is, the problem, if it is I don't know, then there is not much to be told. Directly you can be given the knowledge. So the problem is not I don't know. The problem is contradictory knowledge. Where there is a rope, you have superimposed a snake. So you are not saying I don't know. You are saying I am seeing a snake. So they have to make sure that the wrong knowledge removed,
wrong notion removed and the right knowledge given.
So similarly, in life, when our perceptions are cleared of all the cataracts that we have formed, we begin to see what is beneficial to us and what is detrimental to us. Who is my friend, who is my enemy? Now, you need the clarity, otherwise like Macbeth, a benefactor, he murdered. And by murdering a benefactor, he says, Macbeth murdered sleep. He lost his peace. So, this is the problem. Earlier in the third chapter he said, a person who doesn't understand this, who doesn't have this knowledge, he chooses living in senses. He lives in senses. He is full of sin, meaning mental agitation. And he leads a life of vain hills. Just because we lack the clarity, we go by our perception. In life, in the external world also, a person who doesn't grow, he sees light coming from the moon and he says, light is coming from the moon. But a person who probes, finds us, made us understand that what seems to be like light coming from moon is actually light coming from sun. It is reflected and coming back. Moon is incapable of giving light. But our perception changes the other way. Similarly, everything in life is like that. We are duped by our senses. So he says, the person who has clarity, he can see things correctly. So, when light of wisdom streams forth, sattva is prominent. When the clarity is there, what I know, what I don't. Then you have sattva predominating in you. When rajas is predominating, greed arises. There is constant dissatisfaction. How much ever you get, you are not saturated, you are not satisfied. You crave for more. That is typical rajasic person. He takes his present happiness with the future achievement. Vedanta doesn't say, do not acquire. Vedanta says, do not foolishly tie your present happiness to future achievement. Which means you'll never get it. Whatever you get, you'll say, if I get that, if I get that, I'll be happy. You're not happy with what you have. So this is the typical rajas. While you are in the vacation two, you are planning your next vacation. You know, that is the rajasic mind. And tamas is it, the tamas predominates, ignorance, darkness arises. It completely clouds your thinking. You see everything ulta. The benefactor's malefactor. Attachment as love. Love as attachment. You're totally deluded. Completely overpowered by ignorance. The cataract is completely close your vision. So he says, everything ulta. Completely ignorant. But on the contrary, you think you know. That is the worst part. So darkness, inertness, heedlessness and also delusion. Heedless. Heedless to the consequence. You know, tamas, you do not want to spend that little time investing in thinking. Kya ho jaye? Dekhiye. Sab something will happen. Let me see. Giving into all sorts of superstition, no logic, no nothing. You can see that actually there are people who genuinely believe, if they do everything three times, they'll be alright. They think, this particular thing I didn't do three times, that's why it will happen to me. Any amount of logic, any amount of reason you give them, nothing will work. Instead, if you tell them, every time you get up, you make sure you get up from the left side or whatever side, facing the particular direction, particular object, and particular water you should put on your eyes. You know, those kind of things when you say, they'll listen. But if you tell them logic and reason why you fail, analyze, calculate, then all these things, nothing else. How come that fellow succeeded? They generally think that it is because of the so many other unconnected factors. Because of that. So there's no way you can communicate with it. So therefore, in this chapter, all that he's trying to say is, please understand that sattva, rajas, tamas cannot bind the atma. It is binding the atma as though, as it were. So we always gave the example of Gulliver's travel. Gulliver is sleeping in Shavasana. These Lilliputans were so busy, you know, binding him. Whole night they were binding him. He didn't even know that something like that is happening. Just in the morning he just stretched everything. He got to stretch. Got to wake up. Got to gain this knowledge. You are not bound. You are not a sinner. But for that sattva has increased. Therefore, it's not just the knowledge that you gain, the intellectual information. Along with you got to do the sadhana. Through sadhana only you can eliminate tamas. If you remember again, Gita, if you see a little bit of copper somewhere, you must immediately take the jhadu and clean it. Otherwise you say, okay, we will talk 10 minutes ke baad karenge, then 10 minutes ke baad something else will come, something else. Then after 5 days again you see, but it will be a little more. So if you keep postponing, there will come a time when you don't see cobwebs. Meaning it's full of cobwebs. The color is changed. Now you become perfectly fine. You will acclimatize. We don't see it. We can acclimatize to it. That becomes a new normal. That's the problem. There was a boy who was interested to become a teacher. So he went to a teacher and said, please take me as your disciple. I would like to become a teacher like you. He was about 20 years old at the time. So the teacher said, why you want to become a teacher, man? Forget about it. It was discouraging him. But he said, no, I am so inspired by you. I want to become a teacher. I want to become a teacher like you. So he said, well, test him. So he said, okay, if you want to become a teacher, then are you ready to be ridiculed for the next 25 years? Which means till about 45, when you are about 45, till then, are you ready to be ridiculed? He said, he thought about it and said, yeah. But what happens after that? He said, you get used to it. You know, you get acclimatized. Not that they'll stop ridiculing you. This is the problem. The mind gets acclimatized to that. You don't sit. They'll argue, what is wrong? You have problem there. Everything is fine. What is your problem? It's clean. They genuinely say it's clean. It's one thing to have a disease and it's totally another thing to be not aware of it. That's the problem. That is deep tamas. So, when a person is steeped in tamas, he is completely shrouded by darkness. He has no clue as to what is right, what is wrong. Rather, he thinks wrong is right, right is wrong. So, in the verse number 11, 12, 13, when the light of wisdom streams forth through all the gates in the body, through all the gates means senses, mind and intellect. So when the light of wisdom streams forth in the senses, there will be sense control and not sense denial. When the light of wisdom streams forth in the mind, then there will be control over emotions, and the emotions would be purified. It would be converted from the from weakness level to a strong level. From attachment to love, from lust to love, from taking to giving, you know, from being cruel to kindness, compassion, all these things will ahimsa, will be very kind. No injury would want to cause to anybody. Those sort of emotions will get purified. Sattva is nothing but awareness, you know. By forcefully picking up a certain action, you need not necessarily develop an awareness. But when the awareness develops, naturally this will drop. It will automatically drop. You can't do it anymore. It's impossible for you to hurt any being as a Sthira. It's impossible to ask thereafter. When your awareness of everything that you are receiving constantly increases, you cannot ask. That's why we say in the story of Sudama, it's not that Sudama forgot to ask. Some people say he forgot to ask. He didn't forget to ask. He lacked nothing. Because he's constantly aware of everything that is being provided to him, he is completely satisfied. It's infinite. When you take an A4 sheet and write on one side, on the top you make a heading, all those things I'm grateful for. The list will be endless, the page will not be enough. On the other side, the rear side, you write, all those things I lack, that also will be endless. The page won't be enough. So, a person who is constantly focusing on the lack, he can only ask, he can only complain. A person who is focusing on what is receiving constantly, he cannot ask, impossible. His actions will naturally be giving. He won't be allotting a certain funds from his, like they have this concept nowadays in the organization. Government has forced them actually in a way. Some organizations themselves have been doing for many years, and even if you have been doing or not doing, now there's a rule. The 2% of their net profit, they have to give a CSR. Now, what Vedanta is talking about is, when a person gains this knowledge, all his actions have been given. If you remember, in the third chapter he says, a sattvic person eats the remnants of sacrifice. Rajasic person cooks but eats sin. Tamasic person eats without producing. Besides this thing. So what Vedanta is saying is, the very factory, the very organization will be a yajna kunda. Everybody will be offering. The very idea is to give. So you are not giving after having made some profit, having worked for yourself from that 2%. At least that much is different, you know. But that is not the idea of Veda. The Veda that is talking about, everything you put back, whatever you receive, put back. That you breathe in, the more you empty, the more you receive. So Prophet Muhammad says the same thing. He is best amongst us who is best in repaying. There is no question of storing for future. It's like keep from the profit you keep putting in back into the research development, so that you can give back even better. Give back even better. That is the whole idea. That is the concept of yajna. That's the concept of Veda. So if you live like that, in such state of awareness, your whole action at whatever level, from morning till evening, everything is chanting. Like in the Vedanta book, Swamiji has written in the 5th chapter, Strength of Emotion, he talks about charity. He says, 50%, basically half, he says, half of the poverty is created by the greed of some of the men who are actually engaged in charity. When you take more than what is necessary, you are denying some people. And then you do it in the name of charity. So he says, Oliver Goldsmith, he says, quotes, "Nakedness of this world can be clothed with the trimmings of the vein."
The trimmings of the
vein. Just the trimmings is enough. Literally, I was told this is how this organization called Akshay Patra works. They told me this, you know. They have these huge big kitchens, right, in different places, serving to these Anganwadi schools and all that. Now, they apparently contacted this Pizza Hut and all that. Do you know that story, anybody? They serve that French fries, and it has to be cut in a particular shape. So the potato is round, it's not square or something, right? So when they cut, there are a lot of potatoes, both ways. And the organization, companies have been throwing it away. So they just contacted them and said, listen, those things don't throw away, we'll take it. We will transport at our cost. All you need to do is, instead of throwing it in the bin, you save it separately. So we will take it from you and then we'll transport it. And that cost of transportation, they are raising funds. Like that, they have to give you one example. Literally, this is what Oliver Goldsmith says. Nakedness of this world can be clothed with the trimmings of the being. So when your awareness increases, how can you ask? You cannot ask. You cannot hold your actions in the beginning. It's impossible. I don't know, separate center you have to start to give. Everything you have to give only. There is no need for a separate counter to give. That's what he's saying. That is ultimate, you know. But there one has to go. All I'm trying to say is, when the light of wisdom streams forth, at the physical level it will become self-control. At the emotional level it will become purified emotion. At the intellectual level, clearer thinking as to what is good for life and what is not beneficial for life. And at the subtle level, you choose the divinity vis-a-vis the worldly stuff. That is why he says, when the light of wisdom streams forth through all the gates in this body, then it may be known that sattva indeed is predominant. What ought to be done, what ought not to be done? What has to be given up? You need that clarity, no? You give up possession, but you don't give up possessiveness. You give up actions, you don't give up vasanas. You don't give up doership. Because you don't have clarity. We don't give up doership, but we give up doing. Ulta karna chahiye. Don't give up doing, but give up doing. So when light of wisdom streams forth, at all gate means at the body level, mind level, intellect. There will be this clarity. Life actually starts becoming simple there. Unnecessary attachments get dropped. All your extra paraphernalia which you are carrying because of lack of clarity drops. Instantly you feel that you have become stressing. And then when greed activity, undertaking of works, basically undertaking of work means what? Desire is prompting your fellow and he is working propelled by desire constantly, like we quoted that poem Pond, I am really remarkably fond of water. I'm really remarkably fond of becoming number one in whichever field I am in. So I must acquire this, I must acquire that, I must acquire this. So go for loans, go for whether I'm able to manage or not, do all possible things, fudge your accounts. Jo kar sakta karke, you understand? Typical rajas greed. It's like when you are now holding on to the tiger's tail. Neither can you leave it, nor can you travel. This exact example Mr. Ramalinga Raju gave in his letter many years ago. I'm holding and riding on a tiger. Neither am I able to get out, nor am I comfortable riding. Typical rest. Because activity, no? There are attachment to children, then to their spouses, son-in-law, to acquire for son-in-law. Then their children, it never ends. Desire never ends. So you keep following your desire, activity. So you undertake more than what you can chew. Simply because available opportunity, koina koi justification you give. And then you take it up. Then you really learn how to balance. That is what he says. Greed, activity, undertaking of works, unrest, agitation, restlessness, and longing, craving. These arise when rajas predominates over tamas. Typical what Arjuna was, you know, he was like, he wants to eat the cake and have it also. He is talking about killing Bhishma, Drona. He doesn't want to kill them. But he wants the kingdom. He says after killing them, if we get the kingdom, it will be soaked in their blood, stained by their blood. Hey Baba, either you talk about not killing them and losing the kingdom, or you talk about gaining the kingdom. He says, what is the point? We will get saved, but we'll be saved by their blood. So what do you want? This is typical rajas. Completely restless. So, then tamas, darkness, inertness. Ignorance and inertness. Inertness is that lack of thinking. Thinking level also inertness. Don't want to exert effort. See, it is easy to come to this class, difficult to sit and study at home. Because whether you are listening or not, I am continuing. But if you don't focus, you won't change the, change the page. There is a lot of effort needed. Inertness comes there. In exerting. Heedless to the consequence. What is good for me, and heedless. Those things, they cloud me. When tamas dominates, Puru Nandana, now 14, यदा सत्वे प्रवृद्धेतु यदा सत्वे प्रवृद्धेतु प्रलयं याति देहवृत् प्रलयं याति देहवृत् तदुत्तममिदां लोकान् तदुत्तममिदां लोकान् अमलां प्रतिपद्यते अमलां प्रतिपद्यते यदा सत्वे प्रवृद्धेतु प्रलयं याति देहवृत् When the embodied being indeed meets death in the predominance of sattva. Pralayam. Pralayam means, we're talking about death. You can take pralayam as sleep also. Pralayam is sleep, pralayam is death. Pralayam is the death of Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma's sleep is also pralayam. Lord Brahma's death also is pralayam. That is Mahapralayam. So now, is that when an individual being meets death with the predominance of sattva, what happens? You put in effort, assuming that you put in effort, and you eliminate tamas and rajas, and you increase sattva. Before you reach the ultimate perfection, with increased sattva, if you die, what happens? Then he attains to the spotless worlds of the knowers of Supreme. Then a person attains an environment which is filled with sattvic tendencies. Sattvic people, opportunities are there for him to further continue in the spiritual direction. That's all I'm saying.
Is this instilling fear into a person that if you do
sattva
you will become
this,
if you do
rajas you will become this? Yeah, in a way you can say instilling fear, but right fear. You have to have fear for, like they say in that quotation, what is that? Fools rush where angels fear to tread. There's a quotation like that, no? Fools rush where angels fear to tread. In that sense, fear. Clarity. I do not want to get into this and complicate my life.
Showing you your choices on the
right. This is what I'm saying. You want it?
Fear.
You look at it as fear. That sort of fear should be there. Fear of doing the wrong thing because I know the world is governed by law.
No, because after death what? This is after death.
After death means what he's saying is, even while living and after death, you will be governed by your sattva rajas tamas only. Number one. Number two, another thing he's trying to say is, only thing you carry after death, only thing you carry after death is your sattva rajas tamas. Nothing else. And if you have increased sattva, this is what you will get. If you increase rajas, this is what you get. If you increase tamas, this is what you will get. This is the only thing you carry, nothing else. All your other efforts, you don't carry. And death is not something that we will get after 2 years. We don't know when. So therefore, it's trying to say, right now, you put in the effort to increase sattva. Karma is what? The sum total of your action on your gunas here. That's what he's saying.
Basically, they're just giving you options for you to choose.
Yes, correct. Put it this way that fear of not breaking the law. If that can be called as fear, okay. But it's like that. You can break the law. None can break the law. One can only break oneself against the law. So if I continue in rajas and tamas, I will be agitated now and I will continue getting a destiny which will not be conducive for my growth. It will be constant binding. Therefore, understanding, I rather put in effort to eliminate tamas and
But how will you carry sattva, tamas and rajas in the next birth? Will you carry that with you?
carrying what happened to what manifests again. When a person dies,
that is your karma, where you are born.
Supposing
it's a tamasic person or a rajasic person, when you die, you're more predominantly more rajasic. So when you're born again as a baby, you will not be more, or will that so be inherently?
You have good friends, close friends, right? You tell him or her that I'm going for this class. They will be very happy to drop you here, and maybe they will go somewhere else. I don't know what happens to them with that. What kind of
the environment
that comes to them
more is according to
their gunas. What is it?
We all had a part of Sattva in the last birth.
Yeah, we must be.
Last birth, are you interested this year, this Janma? We don't know. The Sattva when it predominates, you would be inclined and you will get this kind of environment as well. Inclined also, you will get such an environment also. That is what he is trying to say. It is all according to your gunas. And it is only these gunas that manifest continues. So when you completely eliminate tamas and rajas, sattva cannot only remain. 100% sattva will become trans sattva. Then you become self-realized. So, the purpose is to fight against tamas.
So I have a question. Yesterday or today I read in the paper that there was this man who killed a woman. Okay? Because they were having an affair, they were living together, and then by chance he came home and he saw her with another man. Okay, he may be a very sattvic man, whatever, nice man, kind man, whatever. But seeing the action of the other woman, he was obviously quite appalled and angry and just separated and left, whatever. And then after a couple of days, he invited her over and said, let's talk about this now. Went to iron and market together, picked up a butcher's knife together.
Okay.
And then they had an argument at outside the Yagra stadium. He just stabbed her, made sure that she killed. How would one understand his guna at this point? Meaning the entire sankoti.
Everybody has sattva rajasthana. Everybody, you, me, us. At any given point in time, if he gave himself to whosoever, this example is only an example. You gave yourself to tamas. To that extent, you are contributing to the increase of tamas. Some point in time, you are giving some impetus to rajas. To that extent, you are giving, you are influencing rajas in you. Similarly, sattva. So, all of us are doing at all levels. So finally, when you calculate it, what is the total mind invested in what? Sattva, rajas or tamas. Now, for example, even if you are rajas predominated, but if you understand this...
In this case,
you can't go with just one example, one...
No, what would a sattvic person have done? What would the person with full sattva have done? Would he have reacted how?
So you're asking something else now?
No, that's what I was asking.
Okay, I understood from what we are going along. You see, how a sattvic person acts is, we have studied certain qualities. Forgiveness. Now, forgiveness means what? At the mental level, at the physical level, you take whatever actions you have to take, whether you continue living with that person after forgiving or you may give her a divorce or whatever, but you completely do not resist and create a karmic cycle for yourself. What you will do, I am talking about a sattvic person. A sattvic person will look at it, okay, her gunas, her nature, whatever it is, she did. Right. Right now, accordingly, whatever I think is wise to be done at the relationship level, I'll do. But at the mental level, for sure, I do not want to create any karmic bondage with her. So if I am at that level of where I can forgive and I see that there is a repentance and I continue to live, fine. If I am not at that level of, she is not repenting, whatever, for whatever reasons, I don't see any reason in continuing in my relationship, I may say bye to her in my relationship at the physical level, but I will not go to the extent of murdering, giving rise to...
But the sattvic person won't have that kind of hatred in him.
Hatred will not be there.
Can you understand that we have a different story?
So my question is that he would take it to a logical end, which he thinks a sattvic person thinks is a logical end.
He will not do anything reactively.
He will not
respond. And it will be with no hatred to that extent. Whatever extent the person has sattva, to that extent there won't be any hatred or anger on which he will be acting. Whatever has to be done, he will do, but no anger. If it is out of anger, it is definitely kama esha, kodha esha, rajoguna, samuktova, like this. The combination of rajas and tamas that is both part, but desire. See, I can see from the other person's angle. Now, okay, they may be wrong. I said, okay, fine. But I don't want to time my life. See, in other words, let's take another example. In your organization, you have certain tamasic people. You give them warnings. They're not bucking up. Now, they say, okay, but you have your own right to be tamasic. No. But I can't, having given you enough an opportunity to rehabilitate and come back. You're not doing it. We can't pull the whole factory down because of your thumbs. So we'll have to give you pink slip. We have given you opportunity, warnings and whatever they told you to buck up. You didn't buck up. Remember, you have your own freedom to live the way you want to, but there's a certain place, not this place. You know, there is a certain place for tamas, there is a certain place for rajas, there is a certain place for sattva. It's not simple. Who am I to tell you, you cannot be like this, you can be like this, rules and rates, all this, you know?
But what happens like at work, same situation, one person comes, he definitely behaves also strangely, irritates the delight of me. And the same situation, somebody else comes, we have a conversation and like he goes, I go, I mean I do what I have to do. That person comes and irritates the delight out of me. So what do I do?
No, is it irritating me? Is it because you are acting?
No, because what I am explaining he is not understanding. He is on his own tangent. I am on my own tangent. He is on his own tangent. Both in different tangents. And the same thing I explain somebody else.
If it's simply because your point of view, one person is accepting, another person is not accepting,
no.
As one, let me finish. As a result, if supposing you say, he's not agreeing to me, therefore he's not understanding. If that is what you're saying, then you must come with a let me finish. If that is not what you're saying, if he is somebody who's not willing to listen or willing to understand, then you must understand that probably you must give him another role to play. If such a person who is stupid, let's say, who is stupid, you cannot give him certain roles. If there is another role in which he will fit in, if I were you, I will give him that role. If there is no role that I can fit him in, then I will have to say bye-bye to him.
Either you give up or he gives up.
You cannot give up. You are running your business. What do you mean give up? You are close of business.
No.
All I am trying to say
give up on that person.
If you are saying that somebody who is not a thinking type, don't give him a job which involves thinking. Give him some other job. It's your mistake if you put him in the thinking job. Even after understanding this, then you need to take some counseling. Because you know that this guy is not capable of thinking, understanding. Now what do you do? Okay, but he may be good in all other parameters. So you may not want to chuck him out. And that's not the
correct thing also, all the correct things stuck out, you know. So you probably will try to see another role for him, wherever.
Yes.
Out of love. But understand that he is a square plus in a round hole. There is no point me getting agitated by that.
Yeah, once you understand that.
In other words, what you are saying is, he is going on eating chili and you are having stomachache. How is that possible? That he will eat chili and you will have stomach problem. So you are having stomach problem because you are getting involved. You have put somebody, you have put a spine plug in the round hole and expecting it to fit in. It will not. You have to tell that guy, no, excuse me. You are not capable of that. You have to rise. I am expecting a little more. Whatever training you need from the company, they are ready to give. But if you are not going to come to that level, you can't allow the whole ship to sink.
That's
why we say in our relationships also, in our team also, you must assess, who's capable. See, when you have a cricket team, you assess who's capable of playing at what level.
Yeah.
When can you promote somebody? If there's a situation, can I promote this guy or that guy? You must have some assessment. Without assessment, you put in and then you say, he's not living up to my expectation. Then you have a wrong expectation. You are not doing correct assessment. So the fault lies in you. The first time, second time, you could have gone by, so I think the third time, fourth time, you cannot have. So in this, when the embodied, so sorry, we are going with your question. So in your question, this is what a sattvic person will do. I would not probably want, that decision is something that individual, whether to continue or not, that depends on some other factor. But definitely, there won't be any hatred, rather, mental level, there will be forgiving.
So any action done out of passion is not good.
Out of anger, yes. Absolutely.
He can even kill without being passionate.
Absolutely. I don't know if there is any other context to what she's asking. Man neither thinks that he is a killer nor thinks that somebody is capable of killing him. Rather, he puts it differently. He says, one who thinks that he can be killed and one who thinks he can kill, both are fools. He says, the third chapter, second chapter. Now in this, if you really think, he's saying, you cannot kill. If you kill, then it must have been when you were an instrument. Because you're not a killer. You see, if one thinks that he is a killer, and one thinks that he can be killed. Killer means what? Killer means doership is there. Motive is there. Intention is there. Mens rea is there. In law's term they use the word mens rea. Now, then what this guy did is definitely mens rea. You know, his intention.
kind of section he will attract that, I don't know. But there is definitely mystery, there is intention. Very well planned out, you know, not even like immediately acted out of anger. You actually see, planned out, called her, and then you said, took her and bought together to design her, whatever, you know, designed everything.
Which was nice if he bought one. Oh, you mean for spur of the moment?
Maybe to go earlier, maybe to make that fight. He was also on the set.
He was set.
As an instrument, the design also set an
instrument.
For his own passion.
So who was born up?
Arjun.
Listen. Arjun did not play. Arjuna is taking Mount Arrow, not he took. So the war declared, the war was declared by Kauravas, not by Pandavas.
You can't go to the war.
When war was declared by Kauravas, he was defending. Here he had to take the Mount Arrow. This is totally different context from what you are saying. Anyway, so the point is this, that when you say kill, killing at the killer ego, if it is there, to that extent you will pay for your karma. When the killer thing is not there, doership is not there, then you are only an instrument. Nimitta Matram Bhava Sabhya Sachi. Nimitta Matram Bhava Sabhya Sachi, we studied in verse, chapter 11, in verse, I think verse number 33 or something. He says, be an instrument in the hands of totality. As for the total dharma, what is your role when you play that simply as a role, like a soldier doing? Then he is doing it as an instrument. That's all I said. Anyway, now come back to this verse. Verse is saying what? When the embodied being leaves death in the predominance of Sattva, then he attains to the spotless worlds of the knowers of the Supreme. Spotless means mala. There is no mala. There is no vasana. There is less vasana. There is only spiritual vasana. Conducive environment for getting back to the highest. Basically, a growth-oriented environment. That's all. Next. Rajasi pranayam gatva, rajasi pranayam gatva, karma sangishu jayate, karma sangishu jayate, tata pralinastamasi, tata pralinastamasi, mudayonishu jayate, mudayonishu jayate, rajasi pranayam gatva, karma sangishu jayate, tata pralinastamasi, mudayonishu jayate. Meeting death in Raja is born among those attached to action. An environment which is conducive for action, restlessness, acquisition, greed, activity, swelling. When a person dies in tamas, he is born in the environment of senselessness. Senseless means it can be in the animalistic mood. What is basically saying is, sattvic person evolves, rajasic person stagnates, tamasic person devolves. You drain your energy and you devolve. Senselessly, he indulges in the senses and drains the energy. And by constantly living in senses, you see, please understand this. What is going on in the universe is a yajna. In yajna, everybody contributes. There is a role. The body, each and every part has a role. That part does its role. No prefix, no suffix attached to it. So that is the highest. When in that total somebody starts working selfishly, egoistically, the total cannot take it for long. It has to eject itself. But the total will give him an opportunity for that person to exhaust the vasanas and come back. So an animalistic vasanas you have, you cannot continue. Are you with me? So such a person will be, but that you will tolerate, the totality will tolerate in the animalistic body, animal body, not in the human body. a terrorist who is constantly killing vasana is not allowed in the human body. But the same person, the nature, for him to exhaust the bundle of vasana that is created, may give him a body of a tiger or something, where he exhausts the intensity and then comes back to the human. So from one level if you look at it, it is devolution. From another level you look at it, it is evolution. That's all he's saying. But definitely, if you continue in a certain direction, increasing the quantum and the intensity of vasanas in the direction, then accordingly you will be getting a womb. Muda yonishu. Muda yonishu here the animal also included. Can be born in animal womb also. So one person gets an environment which is, each one gets an environment according to their nature. So tamasic person born in mooda yoni, rajasic person born in karma, action oriented, sattvic person born in spotless worlds. That's all. According to your vasana, when you die, the sum total will give you the next. And that will be according to whatever was predominating, whether sattva, rajas or tamas. So therefore, while living in the human body, instead of living senselessly, live with sense. See, the most important thing is sense, no? Senselessly you should not live. For everything, even senselessly go on studying Vedanta, forget about the other roles you play. That is also senseless. Senseless doesn't mean only indulging. You have other roles also. So then what will happen? Obviously then you will incur the wrath of the other family members. You got to understand. So senseless behavior. So that's what he is saying. He will mood a yonish. Fellow who doesn't think and just drains out the energy. Such a person gets a mood a yoni. He gets, yoni means womb, which is mood, deliberate. Absolutely no thinking whatsoever. And what is an unthinking womb? Animal. The society permits him in the animal womb.
But in animal, you will not make karma because an animal has no intellect.
Yeah, but
so it's not
at least
it is just
exhausted.
He will not make any fresh karma.
Hmm. Then start from where he lived. He or she. Next. Karmana sukrutasyapuhu, karmana sukrutasyapuhu, sattvikam nirmalam phalam, sattvikam nirmalam phalam, rajasattu phalam dukkam, rajasattu phalam dukkam, ajnanam tamasa phalam, ajnanam tamasa phalam, karmana sukrutasyapuhu, sattvikam nirmalam phalam, rajasattu phalam dukkam, ajnanam tamasa phalam. The fruit of good action, they say, is sattvika. What is this good action?
Pure action.
What is that? Doing everything selflessly, without the doership. Pure action means devoid of rajas and tamas. Mala, please understand, mala, dirt is rajas and tamas. Gold is there. The ornaments that you wear, gold ornaments, are not pure gold. There is some copper added to it. Isn't it? Pure gold means outgoing substance nahi. Only gold will be there. When it is made into an ornament, then they add little copper to it. Some other substance is added to it. Similarly, when you say sattva, there is pure action, good action. Good action means you using your intellect, you control your tamas, you control your rajas and give direction to your sattva. You control your likes and dislikes. You control your inertia. you control your desires and do the right thing. That is good action. Good action doesn't mean you, what do you call that? Not just the action, controlling rajas and tamas. You can do good action propelled by desire. That is different. So good action means controlling tamas and rajas. The constant vigilance is there. Huh? What is that commission there? CVC. Vigilant Commission. CVC, first C stands for what? Central Vigilance Commission. CVC. Commissioner. Central Vigilance Commissioner. You should be there. For your own, not other actions. No, I am a CVC for everybody. For your own, that is good action.
But along with that, you need
urban bond.
That's CVC, doesn't
it? Obviously, that is there. Then you will, you can't say CVC doesn't have. If CVC has it, it's good. If it doesn't have, I don't know. Anyway, so the point is, the fruit of good action, they say, is sattva. Meaning what? There's a lot of effort to increase sattva. I will recently opening one langar in the morning and then evening you go and play cards. That is not what he is saying. Fruit of good action means there is a lot of effort, tapasya, in eliminating tamas and rajas. Then sattva increases. Then the fruit of rajas, you don't do anything, you just give into your desire. He says dukkha. If you constantly act on your likes and dislikes, see, world is not designed to cater to one individual's likes and dislikes. Huh? There's a fellow organized his daughter's wedding on the seashore. So he's praying to God, there should not be rain. Another fellow farmer, he's praying for rain. Now whose side God is going to take? Nature? We don't know. So if you are giving into your desire, you are constantly agitated. Dukkha. The fall is dukkha. When you act on your likes and dislikes, the fall is dukkha. So when you are in dukkha, you understand, somewhere I have given into likes and dislikes, or I have given into egoistic attitude. Without that, it is impossible. Vedanta keeps saying, no unselfish person will be unhappy. No selfish person can be happy. It's a law. It's impossible that you can be unselfish and be unhappy. If you're unselfish, you'll be happy. So the fruit of tamas is ignorance. If you continue sitting in ignorance, inertia, you will completely be blinded. Ignorance will be the result of giving yourself into inertia. Therefore, for your own good, that little exertion side, you must bring in your willpower to control tamas and rajas. That is extremely important. That is why they say sadhana, sadhana, sadhana. So just by sitting and studying, for that also you need to handle your tamas. No, early morning you don't want to get up. And you must fight your tamas. What are these? Especially during winter. Summer to when you get up. Winter. Fight with your tamas. And similarly, fight with your rajas, likes and dislikes. Tapasya. You know, be the last person to serve food for yourself. When in a buffet going on, try to control. The rajas is there, you just go and grab before everybody takes control of the tendency. At all levels, wherever you see rajas and tamas creeping in, control, control, control. By doing the tapasya, the result of that he says is sattva. And when sattva increases, you develop this clarity. All you need is the clarity. That's that story in the management talks, which is used commonly. In an organization, there was a machine, and the Tamil machine depends on the machine to run 24 hours because they cannot afford to stop it, you know. So they had generators, everything working. But they didn't want to go for annual maintenance contract because they got cost-cutting. But suddenly the machine stopped working. They had contacted the company. They said, you did not go for annual maintenance contract, so you got to pay some amount for my engineer to come. He came out, he will tell you the bill for actual repair. But just coming and going this much. Okay. And he went around the machine 50 times, made them switch it off, check few places and everything. Then finally, he just tightened one particular screw. Then he just switched off, the machine worked. The bill he gave was something like $100,000. Just tightened one screw and gave $100,000 bill. He said, for tightening the screw, the charges are $1. But to know which screw to tighten, to balance the amount. That is the main thing, no? That's the main thing. Which screw to tighten? You tighten some wrong screw, then that's it. So therefore, basically what you need is that three-dimensional view of our life. That's what sattva is. For that, we need to put in the effort to eliminate tamas and rajas. Nobody can help you. You have to help yourself. That's why Sri Krishna says, Uddare Atmanatmanam, Natmanam Avataraye, Atmaiva Atmano Banduhu, Atmaiva Ripur Atmanaha. Therefore, little bit put in that exertion to eliminate tamas and rajas.
पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति 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 कायेन वाचा कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्महि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि. Thank you.